Now our sermon text comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. And you can find that on page 1189, 1 Peter chapter 3. Page 1189 in the Pew Bible. And actually, we're going to go back one verse into chapter 2, starting at verse 25. And ask that you stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. Starting from 1 Peter 2:25. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you and praise you for your word, which is truth. Thank you, Lord, for this way of return to you and enabling us to return to you, the good shepherd and overseer of our souls. We pray that you would teach us and learn what you want us to learn from this passage. And we pray, Lord, that what we think and what we say would be well-pleasing, and what we do would be well-pleasing in your sight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Sermon title this morning is Good Shepherd, Good Marriage. Good Shepherd, Good Marriage. And so here we have God's perfect plan for a good marriage. God's perfect plan for a good marriage. And so some of you may have heard a question like this before. If you had the cure for cancer, would you keep it a secret? If you had the cure for cancer, would you keep it a secret? And some of you say, well, no. And some of you are a little maybe more honest and say, well, maybe I would. Well, we would think that, and we would hope that if we had the cure to cancer, that we would not keep it a secret. But you know what? We do have some cures for some things, and it seems that they're kept a secret. For example, there really is a cure to diabetes. And there's a way to reverse diabetes. by cutting out sugar, by increasing your protein intake, and then also adding lots of exercise, and maybe even increasing fat. And so you have kind of a keto, low-carb diet and exercise, and people have been able to reverse diabetes through that cure. But a lot of us don't want to give up our old ways of eating and our old ways of not caring for our bodies, and so we continue in a difficult state. That's a whole nother discussion, but there's an example. For years upon years, we've known that if we cut out sugar and add a lot of exercise, diabetes can be reversed. But how many of us are using that cure? And so there's some proof that sometimes we know the right thing to do, but we still don't do it. And the same thing, I believe, is the case with marriages. We know what God says about it, and we know that there is a perfect plan for marriage, but are we following it? Now, you might say, well, this is a message for husbands and wives. It doesn't apply to me. I'm not married. Well, this is a message for husbands and wives, but it's also a message for the bride of Christ. And who is the bride of Christ? Well, the bride of Christ is all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Together, if you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are part of the bride of Christ. And so, a wife is to be submissive to her husband. Well, the wife of Jesus, the church, needs to be submissive to the word of Jesus. And so this applies to all of us who are a part of the bride of Christ, the church. And then this is also a message for unbelievers. Because if you noticed in verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of the soul. The shepherd, the good shepherd, is crying out to you, stop wandering away. Stop wandering away from God. Come back to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to God through the one who says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. And so this is a message for everyone to come back to the shepherd. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Amen. And so he's the one who laid down his life on the cross for you and for me so that we wouldn't have to die forever in our sins in hell. He took the hell that we deserved so that he could give us the heaven, the eternal life, the relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we don't deserve. Hallelujah. What a shepherd and what a Savior. And so we want to turn to this shepherd and stop straying and know that he's the one who shepherds and guards and oversees us. And so the message this morning is this: God gives us grace that we might submit to the Word of God. God gives us grace that we might submit to the Word of God. And the Word of God, yes, is the Word written for us in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. We need to submit to this Word written. But even more than that, we need to submit to Jesus, who is the Word of God in the flesh. Amen. Why do I say that? John 1:1 says that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So there in John chapter 1, Jesus is declared to be the Word of God, to be God, and to be God in the flesh. And so we need to submit to the Word of God, and God gives us grace to enable us to submit to His Word. And so the first point we want to talk about this morning is that we need to stop wandering away and return to God. How do we stop wandering and return to God? Well, first we need to repent. What does it mean to repent? Well, to repent, if you look at it from the Hebrew, means to turn 180 degrees. We all come into the world as sinners. We all come into the world as rebels, as those who are born in sin. Why do I say that? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says that. What does it say? Ephesians 2:1. Says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's what we were like when we came into the world, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, or the pattern of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So we had a bad spirit. A spirit of disobedience, a spirit of rebellion. That's what we're like when we come into the world. We inherited sin from Adam and Eve. And so we need to stop straying, stop wandering away, and return to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And so that leads to the next thought about stopping wandering is we need to trust in the shepherd and overseer. Do you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was raised up to give you new life? Have you believed that? Have you trusted in Him alone to be your shepherd? To be your Savior, to be the one who is your overseer. The word translated overseer, it's actually a military word that speaks of an officer who would go out and inspect the troops and make sure that they're battle ready. Are you battle ready? We are in the middle of a spiritual warfare. And so it's a good thing that our commander-in-chief is ready to inspect us and give us what we need so that we can stand in the evil day and be victorious in battle. Amen? We need to do all that we can do to stand. We need to take up the full armor of God in that battle. Ephesians 6 tells us about that. You can look that up on your own. Ephesians 6:10 through 18 talks about that that armor that we need for the spiritual battle. But the bottom line is we need to resist the devil and he will flee from us. We have that power as we trust in Jesus, our shepherd and overseer. So trust him and him alone for your salvation. And then also we stop wandering. We stop the continual straying as we obey his voice. You have to obey the commander in chief. Jesus is that commander in chief and chief. And it says in John 10, he says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. Are you listening to the voice of Jesus? How do we hear the voice of Jesus? Well, we get into that word and get that word into us on a daily basis. As it says on the board there, read the Bible daily. Because then you'll hear Jesus speaking to you daily through his word and through the Holy Spirit. Amen? And obey his voice. Get specific. Let him get specific with you. If he tells you to do something, make sure you do it. Just like Mary told the disciples, or Mary told the servants at Cana, whatever he says, do it. Whatever Jesus says, do it. Amen. So that's for everybody. Stop wandering and return to God. Secondly, wives must be submissive to their own husbands. Wives must be submissive to their own husbands. And also we as the bride of Christ must be submissive to Jesus, the husband and the bridegroom of the church. Amen. And so what does it mean to be submissive? Remember, to be submissive is to set yourself under the order or set yourself under the authority of another. And so all of us set ourselves under the authority of God. Even Jesus sets himself under the authority of the Father. And then the Holy Spirit sets himself under the authority of Jesus. And then husbands set themselves under the authority of Jesus. And then wives are supposed to set themselves under the authority of their own husbands. Isn't it interesting how it says own husbands? Husbands, you're not husbands over all wives. You're not Lord over all wives. You're Lord over your own wife. And so that it's important that wives are submit to their own husbands. And that's one thing. And did you know that a wife, by her submission, might be able to win her husband? What does it mean for a wife to win? It says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Does that mean that the husband's going to automatically do whatever the wife wants and that she's going to win all the arguments? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that the Lord puts a wife in a strategic position for the kingdom of God to be able to win that husband's soul to Christ if he doesn't yet know the Lord. Now, God's plan is for husbands and wives to be equally yoked. His plan is for a believer, a believing young man, to find a believing young woman and for them to become husband and wife. Now, the scripture doesn't encourage men to marry men or women to marry women. That's not in the Bible. In Genesis, it says the husband shall leave his family and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so one man, one woman, one flesh, and till death do they part. That's God's plan. And so in 1 Corinthians, it says, don't be unevenly yoked with a non-believer. So if you need to go ascertain as best as you can that if you're a believer, that the person you're marrying is a believer. That's what the word says. However, sometimes people come to Christ after they're married. And so sometimes you have a situation where you have a believing husband and an unbelieving wife, or an unbelieving wife, or a believing wife and an unbelieving husband, and one believes before the other. And it's like, how do you win them? Well, this tells how. This says, by observing the chaste conduct accompanied by fear, and by observing the hidden person of the heart, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And by the way, which is good and right. This is the way it ought to be. This is the way God designed us to be. And so, now, how many of us come into the world with a gentle and quiet spirit? Not too many of us do. I guess some can be naturally gentle and quiet. A lot of us come into the world with a loud and cantankerous and pugnacious spirit. Can anybody relate to that? But God is able, through the gentleness and the meekness and the peace of Christ, through His Spirit, He is able to take what's in us and remake it after the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so if you don't find that gentle and quiet spirit in you towards your husband, wives towards your own husband, and bride of Christ towards your husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, ask God to put that spirit in you so that when you hear Jesus' voice, you say, yes, Lord and Master, right away. Lord and Master, I love my Master. I want to do exactly what He says. I want to be well-pleasing to the Son and to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And so this is God's evangelism program for disobedient husbands, wives, chaste conduct, and fear. In other words, a wife needs to be set aside for her husband alone. And so, and husband's the same thing. I'm hers, and she's mine, and that's it. And that's the way it ought to be, because that's the way God set it up. He says the two shall become one flesh. Amen. Amen. And then this is not only God's evangelism program, this is God's beauty program. You know, we focus on externals. That's what the world does. We focus on what we can see. Now, it's not that we're supposed to take no mind for what can be seen. We are encouraged to look in the mirror, and we don't want to forget what manner of person we are. So that's dealing with the opposite extreme. But sometimes we're so focused on what's on the outside, we're not paying attention to what's on the inside. And here we're encouraged that God is focused on the heart. God looks at the heart. Just like David was a man after God's own heart, we're to be a people after God's own heart. We want to be those who are precious in the sight of God. And so we want to cultivate that gentle and quiet spirit. A spirit that is pleasing to God and says, "Yes, God, your will, not my will, be done." And so the Bible says here that these holy women of old, these heroines of old, had a gentle and quiet spirit. They trusted in God and they adorned themselves with godly submission. Like Sarah, Abraham's wife. What did she do? Well, it says that she obeyed Abraham, called him Lord. She did what was good. She was not afraid. And so we can learn from her example. And so I encourage you again, wives, be submissive to your husbands. And then we also have an exhortation for husbands. In verse 7, it says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife." And so, did you notice the word likewise? Likewise happened twice in our passage. And so we have wives, likewise, be submissive. That refers to the other time it said be submissive in chapter 2, where in verse 18 says, "Servants, be submissive." And so this is God's economy. Now, we think of economy as dollars and cents and supply and demand and so forth. Well, economy really is dealing with the house rule or house law. And so this is what a household ought to look like. The father is in charge, and then all need to be submitted to the head of household. But the head of household is submitted to God and is responsible for everything that goes on in his house. And so it may seem like a great privilege, and it is, but it's also a great responsibility to be in charge of a household. And so for the souls that are in my house, I'm responsible for them. I need to answer to the Lord for them, for myself and for my wife. And now since I'm an empty nester, that's it. But I think there's also some responsibility for me regarding my grandchildren. Now, thank God, God's been very gracious and abundant in blessing. I have 7 with 1 on the way, so 8 grandchildren. I need to keep praying for them, that they would know and love and follow the Lord Jesus. Amen. And so husbands need to live with, actually it should be husbands living with, there's a participle there, so that gives it an ing. Husbands living with their wives with understanding or with knowledge. Husbands, we need to dwell with or live with our wives according to knowledge. We need to know them. We need to love them. We need to be with them. And it's with, so that's kind of the team concept. We're on the same team. We're serving the same Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want for His name to be glorified. We want for His kingdom to be advanced. We want for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so husbands, live with your wives according to knowledge. And husbands, you need to give your wives, or husbands, we need to give our wives triple honor. Not single honor, double honor, triple honor. What do I mean? Well, first we need to honor our wives as those who are created in God's image and likeness. And so just because your wife is a human being, you need to honor your wife. Amen? That's one. Secondly, we need to treat our wives with honor. Treat them with honor as a weaker vessel. And so husbands, let's treat our wives gently. Gently. There's a weakness, a fragility that comes with being female. And so you show greater care and love and gentleness to that which is valuable and fragile. And so husbands, don't be like a bull in the china cabinet or you'll break everything. So treat your wife with gentleness and respect. And then treat them respectfully as a fellow heir of the grace of life. So in that sense, even though there's a different ranking, there is an even footing. We are fellow heirs, Laura and I are. We are fellow heirs of the grace of life, or the life of grace. God has put us into a relationship with Him through grace. We are heirs of all the blessings that God has given the Lord Jesus Christ. Since we're united with Him, everything that's His is ours. And so He has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And so we share those blessings together because we are fellow heirs of the grace of life. And so the Bible puts husbands and wives in one sense on the same footing, which is different from Islam or different from Hinduism. It puts us on equal footing as heirs of the grace of God. Different rank, but equal footing. Just like Jesus. Jesus is equal in power and glory to the Father. And the Holy Spirit is equal in power and glory to the Father and the Son. And yet they have different rank. The Son is submitted to the Father. And the Holy Spirit is submitted to the Father and the Son. So triple honor. Let's honor our wives as those created in God's image. Honor them by treating them gently. Honor them by treating them respectfully. And then, what happens if we don't give our wives triple honor? Well, it says here that our prayers will be cut down and amputated. Who wants their prayers cut down and amputated? That's what the word translated hindered means. And so if you want your prayer life to flourish, if you want God to hear your prayers, then you need to listen to your wife and live with her in a understanding and knowledgeable way. Ephesians 5 says that husbands ought to cherish wives as their own body. Why is that? Well, if I've become one flesh with my wife, then she really is an extension of my own body. And so with the same care that I have for my own body to make sure that I'm fed, to make sure that I have the medical care that I need, to make sure that I have the sleep that I need, to make sure that I eat healthily and that I exercise, I want to make sure that my wife has the same things because I love her. I cherish her. And I want to be faithful to the vows that I made as a husband. Going back now, 34 years? 35 years it'll be in December. And so, husbands, love your wives. And wives, submit to your own husbands. And so Ephesians 5:28 says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. Wow. So if you're not loving your wife as you ought, in some sense you're not loving yourself as you ought. That's what the Bible says. But it makes sense. Because guess what? When you love your wife, it comes back to you. She'll love you back. And there's a saying, when mama's happy, everyone's happy. When mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's true too. So you make her happy as the Lord says to make her happy. And there'll be blessedness in the house. And so it's important for husbands to be good shepherds. Shepherd your wife. Watch over her, take care of her, make sure she has everything she needs to flourish. Don't treat her roughly. Treat her gently. Don't abuse her either by word or by action. Cherish her, love her, care for her. And wives, do the same for your husbands. Wives, you need to cherish your husbands and be obedient to them. This is a lot, but this is God's way. This is God's plan for a good marriage. And again, for those of us who are single or single again, this is an opportunity for us to follow the Lord as our husband and to listen to his voice and seek to make him happy. And those of us who are married, we have to do the same thing as the single folk regarding the Lord Jesus. And so, do you have the cure? Do you have God's plan for a good marriage? Now we need to pray that we would follow God's plan and have the blessing of a good marriage with Jesus, the bridegroom of the church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, which is truth. And we pray, Lord, that you would work your word into our hearts, into our minds, into our imagination. Lord, I thank you that there, even though there is a way that seems right to men and women, it leads to death, but there is your way which leads to life and to peace and to blessing. And so, Lord, I pray that each one here who has heard this word this morning, that we would choose life, that we would choose to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would not put off that choice and that decision to another time. It reminds me of the Passover lamb that Moses told the Israelites to sacrifice. They are to sacrifice the lamb and to not delay, but to hasten and do it, to sacrifice them and take the blood and mark their house with that blood, so that when the angel of death came through the land and destroyed the firstborn of the land of Egypt, he wouldn't destroy the firstborn of the Israelites because they were covered by the blood. And so I pray, Lord, if there is any here who is not yet covered by the blood of Jesus, that they would trust in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, his blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, I pray that you would give grace to anyone who has not yet trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they would do it now before the angel of death comes, so that they would be passed over and that they would have life instead of death. Because if any comes before you without the blood of Jesus, they will spend an eternity in hell without you. And so, Lord, deliver us. Thank you for delivering us from death through the blood of Jesus. We trust Jesus. We lay hold of him as our shepherd and as our overseer. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen the wives to be submissive to their husbands and give us that gentle and quiet spirit, just like Jesus had that meek and humble spirit. I pray that we would have that as well. And then for husbands, help the husbands to be good shepherds of their households, of their wives, and of their children. And so bless this word, Lord. Help us to pray that you would fulfill this word in us, that it would become flesh in us, that we would be obedient hearers and doers of the word, and not just hearers only. And so give us the blessing to go with the word that has gone out. And Lord, give us the harvest of souls and lives and households for your glory. You tell us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your household. Lord, save our households. Save all those who dwell under our roof. And save all those who have gone out from our roofs and have started their own households. Save them as well, Lord. Because you are mighty to save. And because you have given us good news of salvation in Jesus' name. And so do a mighty work through your word and through your spirit in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, in our community, our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and to the ends of the earth. We pray in Jesus' name, our good shepherd. Amen. Amen.